Much Ado About Newton by Carl Friedrich, from Analog Magazine, May 2005. For over a quarter century, Paul Ratchett had appeared in court. Every day on his birthday, the high school physics teacher from Newton, Massachusetts, had sued to have Isaac Newton's three laws of motion decreed not only laws of physics, but also the law of the land, or at least the 18.1 square miles of the land comprising Newton mass. These birthday suits, insubstantial as they were, never even made it before a judge. But all that changed in the year 2014, when Judge Zeno Weevil agreed to hear the case. Paul had heard that the judge, considered brilliant in his time, had become querulous during his long tenure on the bench, and although impatient and hard of hearing, Zeno was reported to possess a conciliatory nature and tended to rule favorably on motions before him. Paul, despite having no legal training, always pleaded his own case. And this day, with the gallery filled with Paul's friends and the occasional local reporter, he began his argument. "I wish to discuss the laws of motion." Paul paced back and forth before the bench. "Eh?" said Judge Zeno. "The law of Martians?" He chuckled. "I'm not sure this is the proper jurisdiction to discuss science fiction." He shrugged. "Then again, Isaac Asimov did live here in Newton." "No," Paul shook his head. "Isaac Newton, he lived in Cambridge." "Ah, Cambridge," said Zeno, "just down the road from here. I'll allow then that this is the proper jurisdiction." Paul rolled his eyes. "I'll start with the third law," he said. "It states that for every action..." "Yes, yes," said the judge. "For every action, there's a countersuit. The court knows all this. Get on with it, please." Fine. Paul stopped pacing and stood directly in front of the bench. "The first law, then, a body in motion." "You mean a moving corpse?" Paul pressed on. "A body in uniform motion." "Are you saying the corpse is wearing a uniform?" "Remains." "What about the remains?" "A body in uniform motion remains in a state of uniform motion," said Paul, "except insofar as it doesn't. The first law of motion." "The first law of Moses," said Zeno. "This is not an ecclesiastical court, you know." "Law of motion." "No," said the judge. "The law has no emotion. Here we're concerned with facts." "Please, Your Honor," said Paul through clenched teeth, "this isn't about Newton's law of motion or Newton's law of moonshine or his maw of lotion or even his law of motion sickness." Paul took a deep breath and spoke as clearly as he could. "This, Your Honor, is about the state of motion." "As well as about the state of mass," said Zeno. "Well, yes," said Paul, "the mass of an object is an issue as well, but it's immaterial to my argument." Zeno laughed. "Immaterial? Matter is not immaterial." "What?" Paul began to feel that the discussion was escalating out of his control. "I allow that the state of matter is important," said Judge Zeno, "although I'm not sure it's a matter of state, a place to exercise judicial power." "What?" said Paul again, aware for the first time that the judge was not an idiot, and indeed had probably been toying with him from the beginning. "Yes, what?" said Zeno. "A unit of power, albeit not judicial power. A Newton meter per second. I've studied physics. As an undergraduate, I majored in it."
"You did?"
Paul, standing wide-eyed, couldn't think of anything else to say. Judge Zeno picked up a folder from the bench and tapped it. "I've studied your submission to this court, and I'm sympathetic to your cause." He stood. "Now give me half an hour or so to write my opinion." Everyone in the courtroom rose and remained standing while the judge went off to his chambers. In the gallery, while waiting for the judge to return, Paul's friends rushed about excitedly. They patted each other on the back and gave animated interviews to the reporters, for everyone was sure that Paul had won his case. But, paradoxically, Zeno denied the motion, and everything stopped. End.